By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? This was the question that the chief priests and the elders put to Jesus. Did you notice that question in the middle of our passage? By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? The community bestows authority of various kinds on a variety of people and does so in a number of ways. Some of these people we recognise and whose directives we follow wear uniforms. That helps us to know what their function is and what their authority is. That's true of police, of firemen, of ambulance officers, and unfortunately, parking officers. There are different forms of insignia. Judges in our higher courts have distinctive forms of dress. The school captain wears a badge and perhaps has a special blazer pocket. And at the football, we know who the umpires are and we understand the authority they have because they are the only people on the football field who are abused by both sets of supporters. Who said that? But sometimes the indication of authority is not that obvious. For example, plainclothes police. And some officials we deal with have badges or carry an ID card. But what of Jesus? No uniform, no badge, no ID card. He was not elected like a politician. He was not appointed by the government. And did you notice from our reading that he did not reveal the nature or source of his authority? He did not answer the question. They did not answer his. But he acts authoritatively and decisively and in a very confronting way. Why did his actions upset the chief priests and the elders so much? Well, there are at least four things in this story that stirred them up. The chapter opens with Jesus riding into Jerusalem on donkeys. Yes, did you notice? Two donkeys? Mark has one donkey, Luke has one donkey, John has one donkey, Matthew has two donkeys. Oh, mustn't get sidetracked about that. The people spread their cloaks and branches on the road to form a carpet and shout out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Yes. That would have upset the chief priests and the elders. The whole city was in turmoil, says Matthew. The people saw Jesus as the Messiah for whom they longed, the one who at last would set them free from the Roman Empire. But secondly, and even worse, he entered the temple and was so upset by what he saw, he started to throw out all the people who were changing the money and all of those who were selling doves for sacrifice. Can you imagine the chaos? Money and tables and birds flying around everywhere in the temple. You can imagine what it would be like if someone on a Sunday morning drop the offering plate at our service. But here it was chaos. And Jesus drove them out because he said the temple was meant to be God's house of prayer, not a place for rip-off merchants to make a fortune. Number three, chaos everywhere. So the blind and the lame took their chance. They went to the temple to find Jesus, and in verse 14, we find Jesus sets up a medical clinic and heals them. In the temple. But then, on top of all of the barracking crowds outside, the angry money changers and bird keepers trying to get back their property, and the blind and the lame people in the temple, for the first time in hundreds of years, yes, there was chaos. But fourthly, the children. The children who had been caught up in all of this excitement were bubbling and shouting out at the top of their voices as if, well, they're in the temple. And that was the last straw for the high priests and the elders. Do you hear what they're saying? The chief priest demanded of Jesus. Yes, said Jesus, loud and clear. He then quoted from Psalm 8 and marched out of the temple and out of the city. What a day. The huge welcome into the city, the great temple cleanup, the blind and the lame healed in the temple, and the children shouting out as if they were a rock concert. Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? What's going on? What's it all about? To understand this series of events, especially the lame and the blind in the temple, and the children's part in all, well, Matthew includes these stories that the other gospel writers don't include. But it helps if we understand that it is about judgment. Jesus is welcomed into the city, but rather than relaxing and enjoying things like he were a rock star, Jesus goes into the temple and condemned what he saw was happening there. At the very end of this story, the theme of judgment against the chief priests and the elders is made explicitly clear. In verses 31 and 32 of this chapter, excuse me, Jesus says to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you." Could you imagine how they felt about that? "For John," that is John the Baptist, "came to you, showing you the right path to take, and you would not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. Even when you saw this, you did not change your minds and believe in him." Condemned. They were so set in their ways, so rigid in their interpretation of the scriptures, that they could not see that God was moving in a new way. They lost all joy and excitement in their faith. The chief priests and the elders were blind to the truth that the tax collectors and the prostitutes the blind and lame and even the children could see in Jesus. Jesus condemned the leaders, not for failing to see where God was, not just for failing to see where God was at work, but because when they saw it, they refused to change. So Jesus turned on his heels, left the temple, left the religious people behind. But let's not miss the significance of the blind and the lame in the temple. This was radical stuff. And that really upset the religious leaders. Why? This goes right back to a sad story recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 5, shortly after David was anointed king. David defeated the Jebusites who had controlled Jerusalem, and from then on, the city was called the City of David, a term we've heard often. But then he said something about the blind and the lame, which gave rise to an expression, "The blind and the lame shall not come into this house." When you read it, it's not what David was talking about, but that's what the people got hold of. "The blind and the lame shall not come into this house." So the blind and the lame people were shut out. That was about 1,000 years before Jesus. By entering the temple, encouraged by the miraculous power of Jesus, the blind and the lame deliberately broke the Jewish law about who had access to the temple. They were not allowed to be there. They had had no access to the temple or its precincts for about 1,000 years. What a dramatic change Jesus made to their lives. He healed them in more ways than one. Not only did he give them sight and strength that they needed for their physical well-being, but he made it possible for them to have access to God. He showed them that God is available not just to the wealthy, the strong, the influential, no, to everyone. That was the same too for the children. The children were not permitted in the temple either. There was nowhere for children to be in the temple. But through all the chaos and excitement, they saw God's power at work in Jesus and they welcomed it. The chief priests and the elders refused to acknowledge that. They did not want to know that God was at work through Jesus. The blind and the lame welcomed it, and so did the children. What did they do to find such acceptance with God? They had no rights to go into the temple, but here we see that the renewing power of God and the joy of following Jesus was absolutely theirs. What have they done to gain this? Well, they did nothing. Jesus did for them what they could not do for themselves. The love and grace of God through Christ was theirs for the taking, and they took it. The religious leaders refused to see God's hand in the ministry of Jesus. They were condemned and left behind. In contrast, the lame and the blind and the children, who had no place in the temple and its worship, were welcomed into the very presence of God. So the message breaks out. The grace and love of God are offered to all of us. There are no outcasts. None too young, and mercifully most of us, none too old. None too weak and sick. No one is refused. Whatever their circumstances or their background or their culture. But we must recognise that Jesus is the one who can bring us to God. It's not our attempts at goodness that will do it. It's not on the basis of our position or even what we do to assist at the church. We are welcome if we are willing to accept Jesus into our lives and to welcome him as the way to God. And to his name be all the praise. Amen.